Hey y'all, what's up? I'm Simone Rose, and you're listening to the Notebooks and Coffee podcast, where we talk about real life and your mental health. As you know, I'm not a licensed therapist. However, each week I get on here and I share my stories with you all in hopes that I can encourage at least one of you to share yours. That being said, grab your cups and let's talk about it. So April is one of those months where I participate in a lot of the awareness activities that that happen throughout my community, the area that I'm in. April is Autism Awareness Month, and I have several nephews that were diagnosed with autism. But April is also Sexual Assault Awareness Month, and that is something that hits home with me as well, for multiple reasons. I know several people who have been sexually assaulted, raped. I was raped at 14, and recently sexually assaulted a little over a month ago. And that is why I've been kind of quiet. I haven't been posting much on either of my Instagram pages or my Facebook pages. I haven't been doing the lives that I started doing a couple months ago. And I'm going to get back to that. But right now I'm in the process of just getting me back and trying to process everything and refocus and not blame myself, which is kind of what I wanted to talk about today. With this particular traumatic experience, those who survive it often blame themselves or, you know, question their self-worth. And it is because once we talk about it, once we are open about what's happened to us, people tend to suggest that it's our fault. And we're told to, like, okay, deal with it, move on. So when I was 14, I remember, you know, it happened July 14th, 2002. And I didn't tell my mom until September because I was afraid. And I think the only reason I came out to her and I told her what had happened was because I was at school and one of my friends in school was telling me she had gone through it. And I was like, well, me too. And she went to the guidance counselor and told the guidance counselor about her situation. But then she also told on me, which led to me having to tell my mother because the guidance counselor called her and she came up to the school and it was just a big thing. I had to meet with police officers and the officers asked so many questions, and a lot of those questions were geared towards, well, what did you do to warrant this behavior? And it's like, hold on, I didn't do anything. I'm a teenager who had on a white t-shirt at the time, gray sweatpants, and some little Princess Reeboks. Ain't nothing about that sexy. Ain't nothing about that attractive. However, this is what happened. And then recently, you know, when I finally, it took me about a week and a half maybe to come out to those close to me because people had noticed that I kind of became closed off and distant, where people were starting to question, like, what was wrong? And I had to come out and say, like, hey, this is what happened. And I'm now trying to process it and figure out what to do and how to move on from the situation to where I can heal and be okay. And I'm still not 100%. It's been about 30 days, a little over 30 days since the last incident. And I'm still not over it. There are times where I sit and I think about it, but I'm healing again. I feel like this wound has been reopened and I'm having to deal with being the teenager I was before all over again. And this time, the only difference in the situation was I wasn't raped. Like, there was no penetration. He tried. And I don't know at what clicked in his mind finally to, like, leave me alone. But I do know I said no multiple times. This is not what I want. And still something in his mind said, I'm going to try it anyway. And I don't, for the life of me, I don't understand why when people hear no, they take it as a challenge. Like, no means just that. Like, no, not right now, not in this moment. Like, no means no. Specifically, if someone says that one word to you and there's nothing else followed by it, leave it at that. So when we're trying to come out and have these conversations with people who we love and we trust, even with, you know, officers, not only are we reliving this particular event, which is hell enough to relive a situation where you feel helpless, where you feel vulnerable. That's a terrible thing to have to constantly relive. But having to relive it and then having people make you feel like it's something that you did. I remember having a conversation with someone close to me about, you know, recent events. And his response to me was, I'm not, like, I don't know how to respond, but I'm wondering if it's something that you said or something that you did. Maybe it was your body language that suggested that that's what you wanted. If I don't tell you that that's what I want, that's not an assumption that you have the right to make. Nor is that a justification for somebody violating you. And I had to explain that to him. And he was like, no, that's not what I'm saying. I'm not blaming this on you. And understanding that people that haven't gone through it don't necessarily know how to respond, so they ask those questions. And those questions are extremely offensive, whether they're meant to be or not. Asking someone who has survived or who has been a victim of any type of sexual assault, molestation, rape, well, what did you do? Is highly offensive, and it is very dismissive of the pain and the trauma that we've gone through. And what I don't think people realize, and when I say people, I mean everybody in general, those who haven't been affected by this and those that have been affected, I don't think that people realize that two of the scariest things or two of the scariest emotions to feel while you're healing from this particular situation is grief and anger. Like, the grief makes you think that the pain is always going to be there no matter what you do. You're always going to feel helpless. You'll always feel vulnerable because of this particular situation. And the anger is simply because, like, we're not allowed to really express how we feel without being questioned. Like, either can move you from being in full out pain to peace by, like, just expressing what you're feeling, what you're going through, But in order to be able to process the pain and move towards peace is the respect or lack thereof received towards the victim. And it feels not only offensive to be questioned, like, well, what did you have on? What did you do? What did you say? Like, how was your body language? It's not only offensive, it is very disrespectful to talk to someone. It's even hard talking to police officers about it. I have a girlfriend who I called her fiance because he's a police officer. And I remember him, I asked him the situation hypothetically. I never said it was me. I just say, you know, hey, what's the process for XYZ? And he told me, we were on FaceTime. So he, you know, looked in the camera and he told me that this is what it's going to be. Like, you'll go through this process with the commissioner, or, you know, if you don't know the person's information, like, you can give us a name. If you don't know their phone number or address, you can give us a name. We can look them up this way. Like, he walked me through the entire process and he told me, I want you to understand the line of questioning that you're going to get when, you know, going through your story is going to feel like they don't believe you. And it's not that they don't believe you. It's because they've had several situations in which women have lied about the situation. And that breaks my heart to know that women are out here lying. And like, I've known that women lied about being raped or assaulted because they didn't get their way, or, you know, they got caught cheating or whatever the reason was. That literally broke my heart, knowing that people are out here lying about something that women and men truly go through. Like, and it makes it that more difficult for the victims to come out, because we're now getting questioned like we're lying when this shit really happened to us. So the offensiveness and the lack of respect it breeds at times can be unbearable. But I talked to him for about 20 minutes, and then I lied to you not, like, as soon as we hung up the phone, within 10 minutes my doorbell was ringing and my dog was losing his mind. And I walked to the door, and it is her, it is him, it is my two nephews, and they are walking through the door like, what happened? And they stayed with me and we talked about it, and I was able to release how I was feeling with no judgment. No, what did you do? What did you have on? Like, I was just able to talk about it, and they both understood that having to relive this all over again was hell. Literally, that's the best way I can describe it. It's one thing to go through it as a teenager and grow up and not have to physically experience this again, but to go through it as a teenager. And I've been very vocal about what I've gone through on my mental health journey. So the people that know and still choose to ask those type of questions, or better yet, the person that knew I've gone through this, for that person to act the way that they did in that manner, without a care in the world, just like, I'm gonna try it anyway. literally made me feel some type of way. Like, I was stuck. And a month and a half later, I'm still processing, but learning how to feel my emotions and try not to be angry about it. And I have friends who look at me like, how do you do it? And I couldn't tell you. I have tried to put it into words. I don't know how I'm able to move the way that I move. I think because I've gotten so used to being strong, like I've learned completely how to be vulnerable. Like, it's okay to not be okay. I haven't stopped doing things that I've been doing with the business. I got so much stuff I'm working on. And I think I've put my all into that to kind of take my mind off of everything. Which, I mean, it's a good and a bad thing. I'm taking my mind slightly off of that by focusing solely on the business and putting everything that I have in that I haven't had time to really, like, sit down and process this situation. And I know it's coming. I just don't know that I'm ready to fully deal with it. But I'm here and I'm trying to figure some things out. But in order to protect my safety and my health, I've been quiet about it. And like I said, I've only talked to a couple of people about it, but what I'm learning is my safety and my health is more important than the role that other people want me to play in their chaos, in the stories that they've made up in their mind regarding me. And I hope that you listening to this particular show, you understand as a friend of someone who has gone through being molested, being raped, being sexually assaulted. I hope that you understand that certain questions should not even be a thought in your mind. I hope that if you are a survivor of any of those acts, you find the strength, you find the courage to heal and tell your story without a care in the world of what people are going to think of you, without any hesitation or fear of wondering if you're going to be blamed for it. I hope that you know that it is not your fault. I hope that you know you are worthy of respect. And I hope that you are not doubting yourself. Easier said than done. But I do wish you well. I wish you light. I wish you love, laughter, peace, and all that other good shit. So yeah, I feel like this episode was a little heavier than what I expected it to be, but it's something that I needed to get off my chest. So that being said, I will catch y'all next week.